You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. I am Sean Mulroney. And for you that follow me on all my social media, I am Sean Mulroney. You all are awesome. And if you don't, follow me everywhere, every platform. I am Sean Mulroney. That's where you follow me at. But I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. We had a great episode last week. I can't wait to get into this next episode. We got a part two here. But like I said, we want you to join our open group. I want to get, you know, as far as fast as I can into this episode two of Beth Rylersdam, who is also at Curvy Girl Beth, knocked out of the park just last episode. That's why we made this a two-parter. And I want, you know, you to join our closed group. We have the Obesity Revolution support group, and there's many people in there. You join it. Everything's in the show notes, of course, all the time. And then if you want to be a tour VIP member, go to theobesityrevolution.com and help us to, you know, put forth our mission. Share this out. Write a review. Make sure you subscribe and tell your friends, family, whoever. Tell, you know, your enemies, too, to subscribe to it. But anyways, we're going to get right into this. And of course, last episode with Beth, last week, you heard her talk about how, you know, she was eating some food that was, you know, inflammatory foods for her. And everybody says, well, just one day, enjoy the Christmas. And she said the end of it was she gained 30 pounds all because of one day. And the title of last week's episode and this week's episode is Progress Starts with Self-Acceptance. So that's good stuff. And so much more. Wait till you hear the rest of part two. You'll love it. If you love part one, you'll love part two. And go give her a follow. Has a 250,000 followers on Instagram. Just crushing it and inspiring and helping change people's lives. So let's get right into it. Here it is. Progress starts with self-acceptance. Let's go.
So it just goes to prove that those things are not good for my body.
No doubt.
And, but I have to say, it's probably the happiest that I've ever been in my body. So how does that happen? That happens from, okay, this is where I'm at. I'm eating intuitively. If today I feel like I would like to have a bagel, I'm going to have a bagel. And so I would, you know, go to the bagel store. I don't know. I probably did that maybe four times during the pandemic. It's nothing crazy, right?
Right.
You know, most people would be like, you did what? Four times? Like, mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah, like, wow, that's that's nothing.
But for me, that's like, holy cow, you went to the bagel store four times, you know? Well, I mean, that's, right. You know, I always put it out there when people say, oh, you're, you know, how did you get that body? And I'm like, by dieting and exercising. That's how I got this body. Like, this is years of, you know, having, you know, such a rigid regimen and then, you know, eating bagels four times a year. So it's like a joke, you know, really. I remember I was seeing a naturopath in 2018, and for the month of January, I had to be on a very specific thing. You know, like I can't even tell you all the things that I couldn't have, and I basically followed it except for one day. I was not supposed to eat any nuts. And one day I ate 7 macadamia nuts. And I had to go into the office with my tail, you know, tail between my legs and be like, well, I cheated. Like 7 macadamia nuts. Who thinks 7 macadamia nuts are cheating?
No doubt.
But this is the kind of torture, right? This is the kind of torture, mental torture that, you know, goes along with, you know, having a body that is just so reactive.
I know. I know.
And so, you know, it's hard to, I didn't understand that that was unique. I didn't understand that other people didn't think that eating, you know, a handful, it wasn't even a handful of macadamia nuts was cheating. You know, I didn't understand that people were like, what? You did what? You know, like, so? Like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, the doctor was like, yeah, that's nothing. Like, okay, yeah.
Right. Well, I'm allergic to, like I said, here's one of a funny story about it. I have so many allergies, it's pathetic, okay? I don't know if you ever had that allergy test.
Yes,
where they stick your arm. Oh my goodness, that was the worst hour of my life. 75% of the things they stuck me with all swelled up.
Yep.
And so what happened is that even like nuts, if I eat a certain nut, my whole back of my throat will get itchy. And go, and I'm like going like trying to scratch my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Even like I said, things with seeds, like you know, strawberries will do it to me.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that I'm almost allergic to everything.
Now, did you know that food and drug allergies are often connected to poor lymphatics? Did you know that?
No,
I just learned that very recently.
I did not know that. I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. And I've always had the allergies even before my lymphedema came, you know, prevalent.
Of course, but yeah, I'm sure that you probably have always had poor lymphatics.
I have. No, there's no doubt.
So privately, you and I have talked about this before. And so, you know, in my opinion, people do not get to be, in my opinion, normally functioning bodies do not get to be overweight.
Yes,
they do not get to be obese. They do not get to be morbidly obese.
That's good, Beth. I like that.
So people need to stop buying into the BS that, oh, it's because of your environmental cues. Oh, it's because of your eating cues. Oh, it's because of your eating habits. Oh, it's because of your lack of movement. Oh, it's because, you know, you're addicted and you're, you know, okay. Like, people need to get out of that because there's always, in my opinion, some type of underlying factor. It's just that it hasn't been identified.
That's because good. I agree.
The medical community doesn't want to
They won't go any deeper than you're fat and lazy and don't lose weight.
You know, what happens with the allergies? So you had those allergies. So what did they do? They gave you an EpiPen, right?
They never even gave me an EpiPen, never.
Well, that's absurd.
That's completely absurd. The doctors in my life and over the years up until the last several years have been completely dismissive.
Yeah,
I mean, endocrinologists, everybody told me they wouldn't test anything.
You know, we could talk about that for days. I actually just had an experience with a doctor last week who I have a lot of medicine, a lot of reactions to medicine. So I had listed them all. And so he's looking through my chart. This is somebody I had never met before. And he says, allergic to much? So I was like, well, you know, I'm like, these are the ones that I can remember. I'm sure there's more. And so then I asked him about something. I don't even remember what it was. And his reaction was, yeah, no, that couldn't be you. And I was like, what does that mean? And so basically what he was saying is whatever I was asking about was something that typically you would find in a thin person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Yeah, not so much. Because he was like, look at you. That couldn't possibly, you know, like you couldn't possibly have that. That couldn't be affecting you because you're not thin, you know, like this would be, you know, you're pretty hefty. And so it was just so priceless. And then I think that I also had put, you know, and I went in there looking pretty, you know, pretty good. I mean, I went in there looking like, you know, I had a size extra large jumpsuit on, and I was, you know, had beautiful jewelry, beautiful shoes, you know, like I looked like, you know, I was in a very wealthy area, and I looked like I fit the part for sure. And so he was like, oh, saw that, what are you, and he was an older guy, but he saw that it's, you had to put, what is your employment? And I wrote social media influencer / plus model. So when he got to the part about social media influencer, he's like, oh, you're a social media influencer. And then he sees the plus model and he goes, plus size model. And he just takes a moment and he looks at me and he's like, huh. And I was like, oh my God, that is so priceless. Like, did you know that there is such a thing? Like, did you recognize that there are, you know, there are plus size people? Like you're not new to the world, buddy.
right, you know.
But it was just such a funny reaction without, you know, saying anything. And so I thought that was hilarious. Well, I was just like, this is priceless. And I was like, and how many, like, what percentage of his practice is plus size? I mean, I can't imagine that it's not. Because in the United States, 67% of women are over a size 16. So guess what? We're the majority.
Yeah.
Just saying. And as a insane piece, 18% of clothing manufactured for women is plus size.
Yeah.
So how do those numbers work out? And it's simply because we have allowed this to happen. It is simply because we have all been taught that we should be shameful about our size.
Yeah.
And nobody would think to go to the clothing manufacturers and saying, what are you doing?
Like,
when are you making something for me? And how stupid are you for providing such a small, like, shouldn't this be the majority of your business?
Right.
Really, it should. I mean, if you walk into a clothing store and it happens to have a plus size department,
it's that not really plus size department.
Right. Well, but that department, the size of that department really should be the size of the straight sizes as far as what amount it real estate it takes up in the store.
Sure.
It should really be flipped.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's kind of amazing. We can't even talk about men because there's, you know, the only way to get, you know, men's plus size clothing is I think nowadays there's two brick and mortar stores.
Yeah.
And then anything
king
else.
King size direct, you know.
Sure. And then anything else is online. And I have to say that has been since the inception of time, because my mother had a brother who was a big guy, and she would always buy him clothes, and she had to do it through the JCPenney or the Sears catalog was the only way to possibly buy a pair of clothes for him. And that was, you know, like 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, think about that.
It really hasn't changed.
Right, well, here's the thing. The other factor of the clothing thing is that we'll have people that will give us clothes, okay, to give away that they lost their weight. Mm-hmm. And so we'll put on a 6, a 7, or an 8X shirt.
Yeah.
And we'll have 20 or 30 people say, is that still available?
Right.
So think about that. So that go we anywhere 6x all the way up to the 9x is gone within seconds. I mean, you can't find like if it's online, somebody says I'm giving away all my, you know, clothes or selling all my plus size clothes, they're gone within seconds. I said they're already gone. Nobody waits, because you know what? That's what it's showing us, is that there are more people that are out there, that people, the world just doesn't see it, Beth.
Correct. And the other part about that is that, you know, think about it. I mean, inherently, I don't think that anybody wants to look like a slob.
No.
Right? I mean, but I don't think inherently anybody wants to look like a slob. That's what the TV shows portray us
as. That's what the TV shows portray us as, though.
Yeah, but I think that I think that the piece that people don't want to acknowledge is, there's, I forget the statistic, I know you have it, about the number of people that are shut-ins because of their weight.
30 million in the United States.
Okay, so 30 million people are shut-ins because of their weight. And guess what? At some point, so some of that may be because they don't have the ability to move where they're at.
Correct.
So, some of that. But at some point, like everybody has been on, their way up. You know, nobody started at 600 pounds. Nobody started at 7, 8, 9, 1,000 pounds. Nobody started even at 200 pounds, right? Everybody got there at some point.
Correct.
So the thing is that there's a breaking point where somebody said, I'm not going out of the house because I don't have anything to wear, because I cannot find something to fit me.
And I don't have nowhere to sit, too.
And I don't have anywhere to sit.
And I don't have anywhere to the distance, too. I mean, it's like they're all them variables that cause us to say, I'm too ashamed to go out there.
Well, absolutely. But I meant, forget the mobility or the access issues. I meant just the, you know, food, clothing, and shelter are our main you know, hierarchy needs, right?
Yep.
And so if you do not have something that you could, you know, I'm talking even like a white t-shirt. If you don't have something that you can walk out the door with, then what is prompting you to walk out? You know, how are you walking out the door?
That's good.
You know, most businesses have the sign saying you must have a shirt and shoes, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Well, you know, chances are if you can't fit in a shirt, you probably might have a problem with shoes as well.
Yep. Wow, that's good, Beth. This is good. This is really good. This is practical right here.
You know, so it's stuff like that that people don't want to admit. So the other night I was on a live on my IG, and I, you know, it was dark. I was standing outside looking at the moon, and somebody who was, you know, probably just scrolling through their feed of, you know, lives came into my thing, and it seemingly was a woman, and she was like, how much do you weigh? And I was like, do you generally ask people how much they weigh? Is this a question that is common? And how often do people ask that of you? And so she's like, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to get an idea. And so I said, well, you know, that's not something that's irrelevant to me. And so then she said, so then I said, how much do you think I weigh? Because I had seen somebody saying that, you know, I was going to start applying for my 600-pound life. And I was like, wow, people have no idea, right? People think that they know now because they've seen the show, My 600-Pound Life. I haven't seen the show because I believe that that exploitation is a bunch
terrible.
Of BS.
It's beyond BS.
And this is the exact reason. Because now there are people that, you know, weigh 100 pounds that think that anybody that weighs 200 pounds must weigh 600 pounds.
Exactly.
Right? They're skewed. Their idea is skewed, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, how much do you think I weigh? And I said, I wear a size extra large. on the bottom and probably a medium or larger on the top. I said, how much do you think I weigh? And so she said 300. And I said that, I said, so you think that a person who wears an extra large weighs 300 pounds? And she was like, you know, I said, typically I would say a person who wears an extra large weighs between 170 and 210, depending on their body shape. And so she comes back and she says, I weigh 175. And I was like, lady, like, are you kidding me? Like, if you weigh 175, you're not a little 100-pound weakling
right.
You should think, like, you're way closer to 200. Like, honey, you're way closer to me than I am to 300 pounds. And it was just a fascinating moment to think of the perception, you know, the perception that people have because they don't know, right? They just don't know. And maybe they don't want to know, right? Because it's easier to...
Correct. Somebody else and compare, deflect on somebody else to make somebody else feel bad because they don't have it, which sums everything up, Beth, as we're coming to a close here. Think about this. You coming to this point is that you has said that your main thing is that if you don't accept yourself, you're never going to have progress.
Correct. I don't think you can.
You can't, which that's your whole mission, which number one is my thing is to you is I want to get to food as medicine is something that you promote. What do you mean by that as well? Food as medicine.
So I think that food as medicine and movement is key. I don't think that there's any body, right? Not the word together, any/body, two separate words. I don't believe that there is anyone who should not have daily movement, right? This world that we live in, this lifestyle, and God forbid this lockdown that we've been in, is very sedentary. And that's not how the bodies were built.
No.
We were built to move. We were built to walk.
Yeah.
And we were built to traverse on flat land, right?
Yes.
That's what we were built for. So really, it is almost that we need to make a concerted effort to be sure to move every day, whatever that is for us.
Right.
If it's somebody who's in bed, they need to try and, you know, lift their leg, a quarter of an inch, you know, five times. And then, you know, the next week, you do that for a week. And then the next week, try to lift it a half an inch.
Yep.
And, you know,
that's
so
good.
Baby steps, but there needs to be some type
that's
of
good,
movement,
Beth.
Right?
That's real good.
And then I once worked with a doctor who said, you have to, when I was at my biggest, said, you have to put on your shoes every day. So, you know, when you're close to, you know, 400 pounds, you're not putting on your shoes is not necessarily the easiest thing when they're sneakers and you have to tie them.
Yeah, it's a whole workout in itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thinking on that was, well, guess what? If you put those on, you better walk out you need to put them on and you need to walk out the front door. If that's as far as you can go, okay, you did it for today.
Good.
And you need to keep doing that. And when you get out the front door, then you need to walk, you know, to the end of the porch or the end of this or whatever. Then you need to walk down the drive, you know, whatever traversing there is, but make it incremental. You need to get to the mailbox. And, you know, there are people that really, I mean, in this lockdown, basically everybody needs to do that coming out of it because everybody has been so much more sedentary than they were before. Even the people who have been working through the whole thing, they're still, you know, at a minimum, they couldn't go to the gym. And I think that there's a lot of people that didn't go to the, you know, didn't work out at home if they couldn't go to, the, you know, if they were sure. regular gym workers, they didn't work sure. out at home. I'm definitely one of those. I would go to the gym 4 times a week. And I didn't work out at home 4 times a week. I didn't. I have a friend who told me, she lives in a 2-bedroom apartment. She told me that she got her 10,000 steps every day. And I was like, just like a week, you know, 2 weeks ago, she told me this. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, of course I did. And I was like, what do you mean? I said, so you went for a walk every day? And she's like, no, I did it in place at home. And I was like, oh my God, how is it that that never dawned on me that I could just stand in place and, you know, right. do my walking right there? Like, yep. hello, yep. so simple, yep. but that never dawned on me because wow, I was in panic good, mode.
This right? is going to help a lot of people. I keep going. I like it. I love it.
And
I love
so
it.
You could do that. As far as the food goes, I think that everybody has to find their, what works for them, but the most important thing is to eat whatever is not inflammatory to your body, because having inflammatory foods is not good for anyone.
No.
It's not good for anyone. So people would say, you know, sugar is very inflammatory. People will say grains are very inflammatory. People will say, you know,
carbs.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, any kind carbs. Of processed foods right, are inflammatory. And I kind of agree with all of that. And so it's a process. So, you know, if you drink a cup of coffee every day and you put in 5 spoons of sugar, well, guess what? Today, your next cup of coffee, put 4.
Nice.
Right? Try nice. That Small for a week. Steps. Small Try that steps, for yep. 2 weeks. Try that for a month. Then good, put in Beth. Then put in 3. Then, you know, it's baby steps. It's little increments. If you usually eat, you know, a bag of pretzels a day, start with eating 3 quarts of bag of pretzel. You know, each little change helps, you know. Or, you know, you could also be the all or nothing type, which I generally, you know, I am yeah. generally the all or nothing. And for many years, that has served me well. So you can, you know, all of a sudden say, okay, I'm not going to have any sugar.
Yeah.
I'm going to change to eating. I don't think most people go straight to black. So I'm going to turn to having a sweetener, you know.
Monk fruit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. In my coffee. Or I'm not going to eat pretzels again, but I'm going to acknowledge that I need something to snack. So what Good. Can I snack on? Good. I'm going to snack on, you know, I'm going to snack on vegetables. Guess what? That's a whole food. I mean, I used to say, and I still kind of really believe this, you know, nobody got fat from eating apples and carrots and potato, you know, like,
right.
you know, one potato with their dinner. Nobody got fat from doing that. I don't believe. I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, they had 2 potatoes and then they had 3 and then,
so
I do believe that that is, a thing. For me, the all or nothing, piece helps me because then I don't have to think about what are my options. Sure, I just know that that's not an option. And so it helps my brain to focus better. Like, yeah, you know, if good. I know that, I'm eating, my body thrives on just eating protein. So if I know for me that I am only eating protein, I don't even have to worry, like, what vegetable am I having tonight?
Yeah, if it's inflames you or whatever. So you just, you go right from there.
You know, it's kind of a fascinating thing. But I think that you really have to see what helps you to, you know, get to the next step of improving your situation, whatever it is. And I think that part of that whole acceptance thing is that you have to embrace where you're at, right?
That's good.
And I also think in some cases, and I think we're probably going to have to do this a lot right now. I think that people are going to really suffer from PTSD for a while. And I think that, I think we have to give ourselves grace. And I think we have to recognize right now that we have all globally been through so much stress that has taken a toll on our bodies and our mental health, that we just have to embrace where we're at and grieve that we've been through this whole thing. Grieve what we have lost in the past year, and then recognize that we're now going into a rebirth. And part of that rebirth should be really focusing on restoring our health, whatever that means to you individually.
That's good.
Because it's possible.
That's good. That is that right there is it. See, that it's a rebirth, you know, and that's some, you know, get rid of it. You know, 2020 or 2020 is a wash. Don't even, you know, you can't do anything about it, but you can, you know, go forward, which is rebirth. Now, final thought here, Beth, here's what I want to say, which you dropped some serious truth down on this. I love it with the small steps, you know what I'm saying, to where, you know, accepting your no progress if you don't accept yourself, which is the whole title of this is what I'm seeing. But the thing is, acceptance is key.
Exactly.
Explain that real quick.
Motto. Yes,
that's your mantra. You know, which everybody, listen, you need to go to curvygirlbeth.com and follow her at curvygirlbeth also on social media, and all that will be in the show notes. But Beth, final, tell us, acceptance is key, and give your final thought or challenge to everybody that is listening to this right now.
I do truly believe that acceptance is key. I think that we all have issues. We all have things that we're dealing with, and we all can improve our situation. I think that it starts with embracing ourselves. And guess what? You can love yourself and not be okay with every aspect. It's something that people don't really give credence to. They think that if you are loving on yourself, you think you're fantastic. You think you're the bomb.
Yeah.
You think you have no issues. You think you're, you know, head and shoulders above the rest. Heck no. Every day, the goal should be to be better than you were yesterday. And really, the only person that you should be comparing yourself to is who you were yesterday.
Good.
And what small step or action did you take to, or forget it, forget taking the action. Here's what I want to say. I want to say that you should consider taking the action. You should consider embracing yourself. You should consider loving yourself. You should consider accepting yourself, because just the pure act of consideration is showing yourself the love and that you are worthy of all that you're worthy. You know, I don't use the phrase often, but or talk about it in much, but you know, God doesn't make junk. You know, he didn't put people here to just exist.
That's good.
He put people here to live their truth. And to be part of a community and thrive together. And so, you know, some of us are here to, you know, lift others up. Some of us are here to, you know, make sure that, you know, I think that the the most commonality is that we are all here to be our best selves.
Yes.
And even if we're not our best selves yet, so long as we're striving to honor that thought, then
that's good.
It's golden.
Beth, that was right on the money. I mean, you heard it, folks. You know what Beth said about acceptance is key. And if you will not have progress until you accept yourself and taking them small steps, what steps are you taking to, and what are you doing, that movement that we're born, we're made to move. And any movement is good movement. Find out what that movement is. I mean, Beth, I just want to tell you, thanks, number one, for being my friend, and thanks for everything that you do.
So glad that we've connected.
I am too, Beth. More than you know, you've helped me out a lot. And even in this episode, I'm just listening to you. I just reared back and said, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get into it, because you were giving some great, great, great advice. And I always like what you say, you know, my opinion, you know, and that's the thing. If, you know, anybody that's out there, you need to make sure you get your tribe and find out. And I am finding my tribe, especially with lymphedema and lipedema. And Beth, you know, yeah, she has a following, but she's about the people. And Beth, I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, I believe the connection is key. And I, you know, that's really where, that's really my beginnings. That's really how it all started for me. I really wanted to connect to anybody who needed to know about lipedema. I wanted to connect to anybody who, you know, wanted to relate to, you know, struggles with weight and, and fitness and eating, and wanted to connect with people who were, you know, interested in beauty. And I wanted to really represent and show, you know, had I grown up seeing somebody who looked like me, I probably never would have gotten to where I was at, because I would have realized that it's okay. There are other people who look like me, only I never saw that. I mean, yes, my mother, you know, whatever. I ultimately came to look like my mother and surpassed her. But, you know,
well, you're giving people normally that are in our situation, they're not going to look to somebody that's a zero size. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're going to look to you, and they're going to look to me. That's what I've been able to reach. You know, so many people have reached out to me that have been hiding in the shadows of obesity and lymphedema. They don't know how to get answers. So what I feel, I'm and yourself, that we're the answer to lead people to the answers.
Exactly. Yes. And so, yes, I like to help as often as I can. Wow. I like to give people information. I like to connect. I like to hear other people's stories. And I, you know, like to be accessible. Maybe I don't answer in 24 hours. You know, sometimes there's stuff. Instagram is my main account. And sometimes I'm finding that direct messages are getting, they go away.
Yeah,
in a short
they do.
Period
yeah,
of time.
They do.
I don't know what's happening with that, but that's a kind of a recent phenomena. But,
well, I had 140, and it went down to 42 somehow.
Yeah, so I'm like, what's up with that?
I don't know either. But nonetheless, yeah. Beth, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on today.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Well, anytime. Just remember that. And we're going to do some other things live and whatnot. And I can't wait, you know, for that. And then on my Facebook and then on, you know, your Instagram. And so we're going to get that information out there, Beth. And I'm very, very proud of everything that you've done. And just thanks for being an inspiration to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much as well.
Yes. Well, that's a wrap, folks. And that with Beth, Curvy Girl Beth, you got to follow her. But just remember this. You are worth it, okay? You need to accept yourself. In order for you to make progress, if you don't accept yourself, you're not going to go forward. So remember that. And you know what? Get healthy. Stay healthy. And I always say this, you are the best part of the obesity revolution in our podcast. And until next time, I love you.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.